Welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast. April 29th, 2012, episode number 29. I can see clearly now. Welcome everyone to the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast. This is Kevin England, and this is a sidebar edition of the BKA Corner. A sidebar is a focused episode that stays with one single topic. It's rather informal, and it's aimed at some particular purpose. In this case, our episode was spurred on by a listener who asked a wide-open question, which was, what am I looking at when I look at a frame? What is it with the wax? What's the brown stuff that covers the cells? What am I doing when I do an inspection? I think about this and another question I received recently from a beekeeper who asked, what does a drone look like? And it became aware to me that sometimes we take for granted what we know as a beekeeper. Sometimes beekeepers, especially ones that are not fortunate enough to take training, are just not sure what they're looking at. And to that end, I've seen beekeepers who do not want to go into their hives because they just don't understand the premise of it. So what we're going to do here for this episode is for the new beekeepers, but as a seasoned beekeeper, there might be something you'll pick up here. I will tell you that probably most of it's going to be stuff you've cleared a long time ago, but for you newbies, this is for you. And hopefully you'll find this useful and interesting. So I'm going to go through the common elements in a hive, describe some of the items that you'll come across and where logical, physically what they look like. And I also intend to provide some insights along the way. So let's dive in here. I'll go at this like you're walking up to a hive and starting from the top down. I'll follow this in the guise of a typical inspection, but will deviate at times to spend time on a certain topic as it warrants. It will be a bit back and forth, but when we're all done, you'll have a reasonable picture of what you'll see inside of a hive. So the first things first, if you've listened to our How to Do an Inspection episode, you'll know that as you walk up to the hive, before you dive right in, you just kind of want to take a look at what's going on at the hive, specifically at the entrance. So a lot of things can be learned at the entrance, and one of the first things you should do is, what does the ground look like at the entrance? Is there claw marks, dig marks? Is the grass knocked over? Has something been to the front of the entrance besides you? In this case, you're looking for any evidence on the landing board. You're looking for any evidence of grass knocked over or anything where something's been chewed. You're looking for dead bees at the entrance. You're looking for basically anything that looks out of place here. And some of the things you could suspect is maybe you have a critter coming up to the front of the hive and eating bees. Maybe something's going on in the hive that's bad and the dead bees are coming out. And at the front, the undertakers are dragging them out and dropping them. So first things first, walk up and look at the ground in front of the hive. And as a new beekeeper, if you don't know this, always approach the hive from the back or the side. Never walk right in the flight path of the bees that are coming and going. And sometimes when you have a hive sitting out in the field and you walk up to it and you're the only thing moving, you're a target. Some people might go as far as telling you put a flag out in front of the hive, and therefore the flag moving all the time will create some sort of movement so you don't look so conspicuous as you walk up. So watch those bees coming at the entrance. Are they leaving the hive? If it's cold, they probably shouldn't be, but if it's a normal warm day and they're out foraging, you should be seeing bees come and go. When they lift off from the hive, are they flying straight away or are they going up? Do you see bees flying circles and doing orientation flight to get a bearing of where the hive is? Orientation flights mean that you have new bees coming out of the hive, and you could see that at any given time and should see that as a hive normally progresses and continues to make new bees. Look for the pollen going in. Now this isn't 100% guarantee because if a hive is queenless, Some of the bees will still go out and collect the pollen, but when you see pollen coming in, it almost always means that they're feeding the brood, or feeding themselves, or storing food for some purpose. So if you have a good pollen flow, chances are you see it going in. That's usually a sign of a good operating hive. You want to look at the bee behavior at the front entrance. Are they stacked up and guarding the hive? Do they jump right off? Are they buzzing you? Are they banging against your forehead? Are they aggravating with you? What's the sound like? And do you notice any odor? So the sound piece. When a queen is hiveless, they tend to get a little aggravated, or they're not very happy and they have a sound about them, a hum, so to speak. When you smell something, you should be possibly smelling pollen when they're really going, or you might smell a strong honey, but you shouldn't be smelling a foul odor. So as you walk up to a hive, you're going to basically stand at the entrance for a few minutes before you smoke it, and you're going to take a look and see what you have going on, looking at all those visible clues. Ask other beekeepers, they'll probably tell you additional things that you could look at. Sometimes you'll see observations of bees moving back and forth, head down on the front of the alighting board or the landing board. They're doing a washboard effect. Sometimes you'll see them bearding around the front of the hive. All of these things are possible. As you become a more educated beekeeper, you'll see these things. But for the most part, you're really looking for coming and going activities, things like that, at the front of the hive, just to indicate that you're in a normal operation. Now, one of the things you should do as a new beekeeper when you walk up to the hive is just pay attention to the time of day it is. If it's the middle of the day, it's bright, sunny, warm enough for them to fly. Should see a lot of activities, but obviously if you're coming there in the evening, early morning, sun has just risen, things like that, you're probably not going to see anything but occasional bee leaving. And again, as a new beekeeper, what are you seeing, and is that normal for the course? Those are the questions you should be asking yourself. So let's talk about going into the hive. You've done your outside inspection, and we'll run through a couple scenarios. So let's talk about a likely scenario if you're a new beekeeper and you just got started. So presumably you put a package in, or you did a nuke, and you have a couple frames built out in the center. Before you pop open the lid, you know that's what you should expect. There'll be a cluster of bees in the middle. And if you are working with a new hive and there's no nectar flow, presumably you're feeding them some sort of sugar water syrup, so that they can build out wax. So you put a little puff of smoke in the entrance, you pop the top cover off, and you put a little bit of smoke down into the little hole that goes in through the inner cover, and then you give a 10 count, waiting for the bees to respond to the smoke. So if you only have one box and they're just starting to build it out, you're going to pop that inner cover off and you'll set it aside. And as you look over, you're going to be looking to see whether or not the bees have built the entire box out. In this situation, we'll assume that they've built the middle out, but they have not built to the outside completely. And you'll be able to pull the outside frame without any issue. And you'll slide it up, and it most likely will have just foundation on it, and you can take it and set it aside. Now you want to go and take a look at the queen and what she's doing, and you want to see what's going on inside the hive. So you're going to take your hive tool, and you'll start to get to the hive frames that are glued together. The proper way to take a frame out of the hive is use the smooth end of your hive tool and insert it between the frames down along the sides where they come together. If you think about the way that a frame is constructed, it's got the top bars, it's got the two side bars, and it's got the little runner that runs along the bottom, and the foundation sits in between it. Conventional description. If you think about those side bars, from the top bar down, they have a full width of the top bar, about 5 inches down, and then they taper off and they go to a thinner profile. As the hive frames sit inside the box side by side, the bees typically glue together those 2 5-inch thick pieces when the frames sit side by side, and you have to break those when you want to take that frame out. So you're going to take your hive tool and you're going to insert it between the two of them with the flat end, and you're going to go down all the way straight down between the two frames and break that seal. Then you're going to turn the tool around, and you're going to put it horizontal to the top of the frame, and you're going to take the wedge end and put it between the two, and you're going to give it a quarter turn. And the wedge end will actually spread the frames apart and pull them out so that then you can grab the tabs and lift the hive straight up. So that's a description of how you would take a frame out. Let's talk about one step before you do that. You've taken the inner cover off. You've smoked the bees. If you see any bees up on the top cover or on top of the frame and they're looking at you or they're posturing, and what I mean by posturing is they have their tail end up in the air giving some sort of pheromone signal off, you might consider giving them a little bit of smoke, just puff them lightly across the top and have them retreat down into the hive. Especially if they're looking up at you and you see them leaping off, coming at you. You also want to consider if you start to see that, are you in the right conditions to look at the hive? Is it too cold? Is it windy? Is there something bad that when you open the hive, they immediately come out and get you? There could be something going on where you're not doing your inspection in the right time. So now, you've taken that first frame out, coming back to where we were. You're looking at the second frame. It might have some comb on it. It may not. It could still be foundation. You go into the third frame, and now you're starting to see comb built out. What color is the comb? The comb is likely to be white in color. New wax that the bees build is white in color. Now, you've seen hive pictures, probably, if you've done any research, where the comb is yellow, brown, black. It's not white. So how does that happen? As the bees walk around, if you think about it, if you spilled something sticky on the floor and you walk on it with your shoes, eventually it turns black and it collects the dirt and it just becomes not very attractive. Well, that's kind of what's happening to the comb. As the bees are walking around on the comb with some of the stickiness and the resins and other things inside the hive, it does turn from a light color, pale, maybe white, to ivory, to a golden color, to mahogany brown, to a really deep, dark, almost black brown. There's other things going on in here. It's not just about getting dirty comb. When the bees are inside and they're hatching out, they're leaving some molts behind as they change, and they're also defecating in there. That's just part of life, folks. So those things in combination change the color of the comb over time. So let me not get ahead of myself here. Let me back up 1 second and let's talk about foundation. So there's different kinds of foundations. Sometimes, and the most traditional, is a typical wax foundation made out of wax with an imprint of honeycomb on it. Some wax has wires in it. Other wax does not foundation. So it depends on the manufacturer where you purchase them. There are other types of foundation that you may come across. If you buy a nuke, for example, and you take somebody else's comb, you could see plastic foundation. And plastic foundation is just that. It's plastic molded foundation sprayed with a wax so that the bees will build out on it. Plastic foundation comes in different colors. The famous Pureco green. You have black foundation that people like to use so they can see the white eggs. Sometimes you see white foundation. Plastic foundation also comes in an old-fashioned format, almost like a cellophane. And sometimes it has like this metal crimping around the outside edges. You may on occasion run across just wires that are run across from the holes, and someone might put a starter strip underneath the underside of the top bar of the frame for the bees to start the wax, and they build it straight down through the wires that they run across the frame in a zigzag pattern, and some people have proprietary ways to do this. The other way you could do this is just no foundation whatsoever. You'll find a frame that someone puts in that has a starter strip, and they let the bees build it all the way down, and they do not provide any guidance other than that starter strip for them to start on. So let's return to our journey of exploring the brand new hive that was built 2 weeks ago. I want to talk about a tip here. When you're inspecting the hive, you almost always inspect from the back or from one of the sides. I would recommend a side. And what I would also tell you is that sometimes it's interesting to record yourself or take notes in this way, and you have to understand what you saw when you saw it. Sometimes the brood will be to one side or the other. That's an interesting observation. And sometimes you just kind of want to describe where you may have found a queen cell or something like that. So you need some nomenclature here so you understand where you are in the box for your notes later on. So here's a thought. If you have one box and you get to the first frame, that's the bottom box, B1, B2, B3, B4, all the way till you get to the far side of the box, which is B10. Fast forward to if you had two boxes, the top box would be T1, T2, T3, describing that way, so that when you take your notes, you're not confused as to whether you were in the top box or the bottom box. Anyway, carrying forward. Coming back to where we were, you've pulled the first frame out, it was nothing but foundation. You pulled the second frame out, it was foundation. Maybe on the far side from you, you started to see a little bit of wax. The third frame, B3, you start to see wax on the side near to you, and the other side is built out pretty well, and you start to see something stored in the cells. In our example, we'll talk about maybe you're going to see nectar, and what you'll see here is this shiny liquid deep within the cell, and there could be a possibility that they have it capped off. If you think about it, you start your hives in April, May timeframe if you're in the U.S., and it starts to warm up. Let's talk about the Northeast, which is where I'm from. In the Northeast, the weather breaks. April, May, the flowers start to come out. The weather warms up. The bees are out foraging, and they get that pollen and nectar flow. And you're going to start bringing them in. Depending on where you are in that cycle, or if you're feeding them from a sugar water syrup, they're going to start storing it. And eventually, once they get it to the point where the cell is full and they want to store it for future use, they'll cap it over with a wax. The capping wax is white in color. It will be white in the beginning, but eventually as they walk through and walk on it, it will turn darker, but it's clearly whiter in color than a capping if you see a brood comb, which we'll talk about in just a second as we get a couple frames in. So, you're on frame 4 in the hive, and you've encountered what looks to be either pollen or nectar. That's very common. And you're going to see nectar is a shiny liquid substance, sometimes dark in color when it ripens, and sometimes it's capped off, and you're going to see the white wax coating over top of it. Now, if there's pollen in there, pollen comes in so many different colors. The most common colors are yellow, orange color, but you can get blue pollen, red pollen, all different color pollen. And what you see is the frame cell is about half full with something. And if you took a pencil point and stuck it in there and pulled it out, you would get the granules of pollen. If you've watched the bees come in the front and you see the pollen on their legs, you should understand it. Now, there's a difference between pollen and bee bread, which is like a fermented pollen and lasts a little bit longer. But considering this is a new hive, let's just call it pollen and be it that. Now, you start to go next frame in. You get to B5, B6, and you start to encounter the brood chamber. In the brood chamber, you're going to start to see cells that have either literally larvae in them, where you can see bees growing, or if you look hard enough, you'll eventually see eggs. And at some point, you'll see it covered with a brown substance. It's a wax resin coating. And it's brown like the color of a paper bag. And that is capped brood. Now, I'm being this specific because I've had people ask me and they don't know what they're looking like at all. So I always go to the lowest common denominator. If you get this and it sounds obvious, forgive me, but I'm just going to go there, right? So when the bees lay an egg, they typically lay the egg, the queen, in a spot where there's royal jelly or some sort of liquid in the bottom of the cell. The egg is teeny tiny. It looks like a grain of rice when it's an egg. And then eventually it will grow to a larvae and it will curl to a C shape and get really fat and fill the entire cell. And then at some point it's going to stand vertical up and they're going to cap that off. And you're going to see eventually a hole where the bee is going to emerge and chew its way through that capping and come out and become a new bee. So as you do your inspections, chances are when you get to the center of the hive, if you're fortunate and they're doing it the way you would want them to do, you're going to start to encounter frames that have brood chamber in them. And you'll see eggs, larvae, capped brood. And then let's talk about what you're going to see. So the pattern that you'll see for the brood is fascinating. If you think about the way the queen lays, she'll pick a cell and she'll lay an egg. And then she won't go literally to the one next to it. She'll go a couple over and she'll lay an egg. And then she'll traverse the comb and she'll lay an egg. 4, 3, 4, 5 cells apart. And she'll continue to go in a zigzag pattern around that central area where she laid the first egg. And she'll keep laying eggs until she fills them all in and gets a nice, solid, tight pattern. Now, if you think about what the bees need to do, she's filling those eggs, and the nurse bees are going to come and attend to the eggs and to the larvae, and they need to feed these growing bees, so they're going to need pollen that they're going to process, and they're going to need water, and they're going to need nectar. So logically, the other bees working in concert with the nurse bees are going to put food stores nearby. You're going to have the central area where the brood is, and right around it, you should see a pollen ring. They keep the pollen close to where the brood is. So a typical pattern on a frame will you see the bottom to the center of the frame in an egg shape, full pattern of brood when you have a good queen. Around that, you're going to see a 2-inch ring of pollen stored a little bit off of the brood, so that if the queen wants to continue to lay, she can lay outside the brood and not encounter pollen in it. So you'll have a round circle of brood pattern, a short little break for the queen to lay further out if she wants. Then you're going to find a pollen ring, and then outside of that, you're going to find the nectar. Now, a lot of times when you find a frame that starts small, you'll find this pattern. But when it fully builds out to the point where the queen has no more room to lay, you're going to have a full frame with a pattern across the entire center, a ring of pollen around it, and the nectar is out in the edge, which typically means up in the corners of the tops of the frames. And a lot of times, that nectar is ripened already and capped. So if you pull out a frame from the center of your hive, and it's got a full face of brood with a ring around it and honey up in the corner, that is the natural progression of how a queen should lay, and that's a perfect comb. That's good stuff. That's what you want to encounter. So thus far, there's a couple things that you may have seen if you've done your inspections that I haven't talked about yet. You're going to have to just be patient and bear with me. Right now, what I'm trying to do is describe a new, fresh start of a hive. But I will fast forward to a more mature hive where you're going to see some different things changing up. So let's fast forward the clock here. We're 2 weeks in, package has been there, the queen is laying, they're starting to build out. They get to the point where they're out to the frames on the outside edge. They may not have built out, let's use our nomenclature, B1 and B10, but they've built everything out, and now they're running out of room. You're going to take your second box, and you're going to put it on top, and eventually they'll move up and over, and they'll fill that second box, and that'll take you all summer, and now you have a good working hive, and you get to fall. Now, as you go to look in late summer, early fall at the frames, you start to see some other stuff going on here. And this could start as early as 2 weeks in, and it could start later. It all depends on the bees themselves. But let's talk about a couple other things that you'll find. So what I want to do here is talk about what is a more established hive. The bees have built out the entire two boxes. You may have at some point put a honey box on top. This is a normal working operation hive. And it doesn't, you don't have to wait until it gets to that point to see some of this stuff. But let's just talk about a normal hive in the context of things that you'll run across. So let's talk about wax. I told you the wax color goes from white, ivory, amber, yellow, medium brown, chocolate brown, dark mahogany brown. Dark mahogany brown may take a couple years to get to, but that's what you're going to see the progression of your comb get to. Now, if you started with the nuke and a beekeeper gave you frames out of an established hive, your bottom box may have five frames of this dark comb surrounded by lighter colored comb. Eventually, you're going to want to take that old comb out, but we'll get to that some other time. So wax. The bees, if they're nice to you, will build uniform wax, even with the top of the top bar straight down, and they're not going to build crooked comb. They're not going to build wonky comb, and I'll explain that. That's a technical term, wonky. They're not going to build bridge comb and all these other things. So wax. Sometimes they'll build wax on the bottom of a frame. If you have a frame hanging over top of another frame and it's from a proper manufacturer, you should maintain the bee space and the bees generally will not try to connect those two. But if you happen to have swamped in a frame that has more space, or for whatever reason the bees want to do that, they will sometimes build comb from one frame on the bottom to the top of the frame down below. You'll also see at times across that top edge of the bar that they'll build fresh comb on there. And it's just wax on top of the top bar. And when they're into building wax, they will build wax however they want. On occasion, you will find them build wax between frames. They'll literally connect one frame to another. And other times you'll find them connect that wax from the last frame, T1, T10, to the outside edge of the box. So you're going to see them build wax and or deposit propolis all over the hive. And what you want to do when you go to inspect a hive is make sure you know where it is. And at certain times, you want to take countermeasures to take that stuff out. So let's talk about that. Now, different day, different time, ready to go in the hive. You've got two boxes up. You got the top cover on. Middle of the day, you're going to do your inspection. You smoke the front entrance, lift the top cover, give a little smoke there, pry the inner cover off, and now you're in the top box. The bees are loaded in the box now. You have a full population of 40,000 bees or whatever it's going to be. Some beekeepers will recommend that when you go to pull that first frame out of the top box, if it's completely built out, that you build frame number two and pull that one. The reason you want to pull frame number two is if you pulled frame number one and you slid it up alongside the flat side of the outer box, you may roll some bees. They literally get rolled between the frame and the comb. If it's connected to the outside of the box, and you'll kill bees, you'll crush bees, you'll alert pheromone the bees, and everybody's going to come to their rescue, and you're going to have a situation. So some beekeepers will recommend to you that you go to the second frame, spread out the frames as far as you can using the technique we described earlier, and you pull frame number two, and it's bees against bees, and hopefully if they roll, they just kind of roll and fall down, and they collect their senses, and they go about their day. You're not crushing and smashing bees. So you pull frame number two and you take a look at it, and you might see some pollen, you might see some honey, but down in the bottom corners and down along the bottom edges, you see these frames that have cells that are bigger than normal. What is that you're looking at? So if you remember your bee biology, if you've had a chance to take a look, a normal worker bee is smaller than a drone bee. Drone bees require cells that are bigger, and therefore they tend to build at the bottom of the frames and along the edges. There's no no golden rule here. They could build it wherever they want, but typically on the outside frames and down along the bottoms, they will build drone comb, which is bigger than the typical regular worker bee comb. Now, if you're digging through the box and you get to T3, 4, 5, and you start to come across patterns of brood, and you see a good pattern of worker comb, and then down below it, you see these bigger cells, and some of the bigger cells have bullet top shape, that is drone brood comb. They like to build drone along the bottom, and they also like to literally build it along the bottom edge of the frame. Sometimes they'll hang it from the bottom of the frame down to the top of the frame underneath it. And when you pull the frame up, you pull this bundle apart of drone brood frame and you see exposed larvae and whatever. That's life. There's not much you could do about that. Now let's say that you're digging through the box and you've gone through hive top box, hive 1 through 10. You see everything good. You see pollen. You see stored nectar. You may see capped nectar and capped honey and whatever. You take that box off and you set it down. But before you take it off, you notice on the bottom of the frame, you see this cell underneath, and it's funny looking. It's almost like a little pinky finger, but it has the texture of a peanut. What is that cell? That cell is a queen cell. And what the bees do sometimes is they build emergency cells, where they'll build a cell off the vertical face. So think about how all honeycomb is built. It's built with a horizontal honeycomb, has a little bit of a tilt so the liquids don't leak out. But sometimes when they have the ability to build for something that has a roof overhead, they will build a vertical comb down, a little peanut shaped, and that is to build a new queen. Hives all have different personalities. Some of them build those vertical cells as emergency cells, so in case they need to raise a queen. Others are building it in preparation for building a new queen, meaning the hive may swarm at some point and they want to make a new queen. When you see those cells, there's a couple things to look at. Does it have an open hole on the bottom? If it has an open hole in the bottom, when you tilt it up and face you with the sun behind you, is there any liquid in the bottom of the cell, meaning the roof of the cell, and is there any larvae in there? Are they raising a queen, or is it just an emergency cell? If it's capped, look at the capping, and if there's soon to be a queen emerging out of there, sometimes they will chew a ring around the end to make it easier for her to pop that cap off. So those things hanging from the bottom of a frame could potentially be a queen cell. Now sometimes they build these queen cells in the middle of a frame, meaning the face of a frame. You'll see this cell hanging out, and it's called a supersedure cell versus a queen cell. And again, terminology being what it is, people refer to these things by many different things. I'll tell you what I've learned. That too is an emergency cell for a queen. And a lot of times they'll build those in preparation for something's wrong with the queen and we're going to make a queen very quickly. You know, preferably they like to build them down from vertical, but if they're building them on the face of the comb, it could mean a sign that something's wrong with your queen, or it could just mean that they decided they're going to put a queen cell there. There was maybe a nick in the comb or something that gave them a vertical surface and they've created it. So now you've been looking through your established hive for a while and you are now down in the bottom box and you're in B3, B4, you start to get into the brood area. And now what I want to talk about is different patterns of brood comb. Now what we said is how the queen lays the eggs and the fact that when she's done, a good queen will give you a nice solid pattern. In time, when a queen starts to fail, she's running out of eggs, maybe there's a problem, maybe she's sick, maybe something happened to the queen, and the bees start to hatch and they're not being replaced, you look at the brood pattern and sometimes you'll find different things. You might find a shotgun pattern, where it looks like someone shot it with shotgun pellets and there's holes all over the place and you don't have a solid pattern. That's a sign that there may be something going on with the queen. That could be a sign of a dearth and that the bees are hatching out, but they're not worried about replacing them. There's a couple different reasons, but when you start to see a shotgun pattern, you want to just start keeping an eye on your queen and what conditions are going on inside the hive. Sometimes you'll find these bullets and nothing else. And what that means is the queen stops laying and the drones are being laid by worker bees that cannot lay conventional bees, right? Cannot lay eggs. They're only going to do boys. If there's something wrong with your queen, some of the bees may turn into drone layers and they're going to deposit a lot of eggs and they're going to do it wrong and in the wrong places or whatever. This is somewhat complicated for a new beekeeper, so let's not go there. Look, when you have a new queen operating and whatever, you're looking for solid brood pattern. As long as you see that, you're good to go, right? So now you're in the hive, and you've looked at the wax, you've looked at the foundation. Go back to what we've talked about so far. Wax foundation, plastic foundation, the old-fashioned cell phone, no foundation, wires, whatever the case may be. We've talked about the wax color, why you see wax on the bottom of the frame, wax between the frames, when they wax the frame to the box, when they have wax across the top edge. We've talked about the patterns, solid pattern, good pattern, shotgun pattern, bullet-shaped patterns, recognizing capped worker brood by color, which is that tan paper bag color. We talked about the pollen ring that happens around the outside in a normal convention with the honey stored up in the corners. We've talked about worker cells versus the size of drone cells and queen cells hanging off the bottom. We've spoken about supersedure cells, which are on the face of the comb. We've had a discussion about worker brood versus drone brood and the bullet shape versus a flat shape for capping. Now let's talk about the last thing for an inspection, which is, how about the bees? What do the bees look like? If you see a newly emerged bee coming out as a larvae, and a lot of times you will see literally them chewing a hole to get out, and then they emerge and the bee looks soft. Sometimes they have a yellowish look to them. They're pale. Their wings are not fully developed. They haven't hardened yet. They haven't become that bee that they're going to be. It takes several hours to a day for them to emerge and become a fully functioning bee. When you see a new bee, they're beautiful to behold. They're shiny looking. They're fuzzy looking. Their wings are perfect shape. They're really nice, beautiful looking bees. You can really tell in the spring when the new bees emerge. Every bee looks perfect in shape and form. But when you start to get further in the system and you look at them, you see bees that are black, that have worn the hair off and the color off, and they tend to be used and their wings are tattered and whatever. When you get time to observe, you will see. So you have different size bees. Obviously, you're going to have three size bees. You're going to have a worker bee. You're going to have a drone, which is a boy. And if you can't tell the difference, a drone is a stouter bee. The thorax, the piece behind their eyes, the upper part of the body where their front legs attach, and the abdomen are stout and thick, and a lot of bees are black in color, and they have big, burly, they're like linebackers. They have bigger eyes, and you really can tell the difference between a drone and a regular worker bee. Now, what about the queen? What does she look like? She's typically bigger than a drone, and she has short wings and a really long abdomen. The color frames run the gamut. Most of them are orangey yellow. And almost all the time when you see a queen bee, there will always be bees huddled around her. Traditionally, this is referred to as the queen's court. Now you have larvae and you have eggs, which I described earlier. And when you see the big larvae, a lot of times you'll see the drone larvae. They're much bigger than the regular larvae, so you can tell with the caps. And I've talked about this, so I guess I shouldn't be repetitive and repeat myself, but you'll know when you look in there. The bigger bees are the drones from the larvae standpoint. So every inspection that you do is different. I'm going to go into the last pieces, things that you'll see inside the hive, a general, here's what you might run across. So when you start to see in the springtime, in the middle of summer, when new queens emerge, you might see, for insurance policies, should something happen with the queen, you'll see a lot of drones. They're in there, they're all over the place. Some people don't like drones and they do drone calling. Others don't mind, and drones are drones, right? When you see a lot of drones, that is a sign that there's a potential for mating there, and the hive is making sure that should something happen to the queen, or when they have to replace a queen, that they have a sufficient amount of drones to populate and to mate with a potential queen. And you'll see the drones leave in the morning, or leave in the afternoon, and they'll come back at night, and they're going off to the drone congregation area, someplace in the beyond, where they hang out, and when a new virgin queen emerges, and she needs to be mated, she'll leave the hive, and she'll go to that area, and she'll literally mate with a bunch of different drones, and come back, and hopefully she's mated very well, and will be a prosperous queen. Now, one of the things I mentioned earlier and I need to come back to as an observation is wonky frames. Sometimes you don't build your foundation right and it's crooked. Sometimes you put plastic in and the bees don't like it and they won't build it. And you get waves or areas that they won't build. The thing with wonky frames is sometimes you're just better off taking the frame out of the hive, cutting the entire thing out and starting over again. And other times you could shave and sculpt and correct, and the bees will fix it and do whatever needs to be done there. So if you have plastic frames and they're not building it out, you may have to coat them with wax, or you may just have to go to wax foundation. Sometimes they don't like it. At certain times of the year where they're not really big into building wax, it's a tough sell to get them to build on plastic. At other occasions, when you take a frame out of a hive, you'll find holes all over the place. It looks like Swiss cheese. Take this as a lesson. The bees will build the comb however they want. If they want a hole here so they can pass through from this area of the hive to the other hive, they'll put a hole in the comb. And if you tried to, say, patch a hole with duct tape, they'll chew right through it. They have no problem going through that. So you really can't control what the bees are going to do inside the comb area. Let them do what they're going to do. Now, as I talk about that, a recommendation comes to mind of when you take a frame out and you look at it, put it back in the same place that you got it. The bees have situated the hive where they want it to be. You could completely take the hive apart and put it back in a different order, and they will go back to constructing the hive the way they had it. Sometimes they'll accept it that way, but most times they will arrange it, and what you're doing is setting them back by them having to rearrange the hive to the way they want it. Now, there's no definitives in every hive situation. Bees will do what they're going to do, but the common rule of thumb is just leave the bees do what they want and put the frames back in the way that they came from. I'm all over the place here with different pieces, but these are observations that you'll see. Sometimes you'll pick a frame out, and there'll be so many bees on it, and they'll be hanging from each other. Like the monkeys you see in Toy Story, you know, the old-fashioned toys, if you are as old as I am, where you used to hang all the legs to the arms and so on. That's called festooning. And if you think about it, if you put a frame in that had a top bar with just a guide rail, how do the bees build straight comb down? Well, they hang from each other, they deposit the wax, and the gravity is what dictates how the hive gets the comb built, whether it's straight or not. If your hive's on a hill or leaning or not set up properly, you're going to get wonky comb. Love that word, wonky. You're going to get crooked comb, right? So you want your hive to be as best as possible straight up and down so that they'll build the frame from top to bottom. Now, I mentioned about the Queen's Court, but if you do your observations, there are times you might see other activities of what bees are doing. The waggle dance is a great thing to find. And you're going to, again, see the pollen at the entrance, but you could see them doing things like, if they have a hive beetle problem, they will maintain the hive beetle by doing a hive beetle jail. So what they do is they keep the hive beetles contained in a specific area. A good example of this is you can go to our YouTube channel, YouTube/NWNJBA. We just posted a video of the bees keeping all of the hive beetles up in the corner when they swap the bottom board out. They don't want them to get out. So as you're in doing your observation of what's going on with the bees, look for all this stuff. There's a lot of neat things going on in there. On occasion, when you have a mite problem, and I would say to you, this is probably too late, but you will literally see mites on the bees. So when you look on them, you'll see this little red dot on the back of a bee. A lot of times they're up underneath the bee and you can't see them when they're walking around. But there are occasions when they're hitching a ride on the outside. And as you look at your frames, not only looking at the comb and what's inside of it, look at the bees. So many new beekeepers forget to look at the bees. So a couple more things to leave you with. The queen could be anywhere in the hive, but most times the queen is in the brood chamber near the brood laying eggs. But every time you pull a frame out to do an inspection, before you take it away from the hive and hold it over the grass, check to see that the queen is not on there. She could be on the inner cover, she could be at the front entrance, she can be anywhere in the hive. Always, always be aware that you should look for the queen as you're operating inside the hive. And every time you put a frame back, be aware that when you put that frame back, you have the risk of crushing the queen. So always take your time, be careful about certain things, and crush as few bees as possible. Now, we've talked about this whole explanation and doing some sort of inspection. And the last piece of advice from an inspection standpoint is make sure you have a plan. When you open the hive, what is your objective? What are you doing in there? Get in, do what you're after, and get out. Now, a lot of beekeepers want to find the queen. Sometimes the queen is elusive. She'll run from frame to frame. She'll be down on the bottom board doing whatever. As a new beekeeper, if you're doing an inspection and you want to know if you're queen right, once you get into the frame and you see larvae and you see eggs, you have to know that a queen set them up in there just a short time ago, so you have a laying queen as of X number of days, depending on what you're looking at. If you're looking at eggs, it's probably 1 to 2 days ago. So as you go in and do your observations, it's not always a necessary evil to find the queen. It is fun. It is exciting to find the queen, and you should always try and look for her when you're in looking around. But if you don't find her, that's okay. There are a couple times a year where you should really do an inspection and go all the way through the hive from top to bottom and look and see what you have. You get to the period in the spring where you have to set the box up for the spring and make sure that the brood is not up in the top. And when you put honey supers on, they're going to come and lay brood up in the honey supers. You kind of want them down so they won't crowd and swarm. And in the fall configuration, when you want to get the bees ready for fall, again, you're going to want them to be downstairs, and you're going to want to do a good assessment of everything you have going on inside the hive. So the last and final thing that we would talk about here is propolis. Propolis is that sticky gummy resin that you'll find sometimes in a hive. A lot of the modern bees that we use these days do not tend to have propensity for putting a lot of propolis in the hive, but they will glue the frames together, and they also will glue the rails that the frames ride on. And what I would suggest to you is, as you're pulling the frames out, if you pull a couple frames out and set them aside, do scrape the propolis off the rails, and that will make it easier for you as you go to remove the frames, that they're not glued and stuck in there. I'm not crazy about telling you to scrape all the propolis out of the hive. You don't need to be that fastidious about it. But scraping them off the rails does help with inspections subsequently when you come back, that everything's not gunked up and glued up. So I hope that, or my intention here was that, if you're a new beekeeper and you've never seen any of this, this may have been an enlightening experience. It may have given you description as to what you've seen. And I'm fascinated now to ask you, the listener, that if you've listened to this and you're a new beekeeper and we didn't answer a question for you, send us a note. We would love to hear from it, and we can add some tidbits as we go through the next episodes. Write to kevin@bkcorner.org and tell us what we missed, or ask your questions of anything that you've seen that you don't understand, and we'd be very happy to answer you. So I hope you found this useful, and this has been a sidebar edition. That's it. That's where we're going to end. And wow, I've been talking for a long time, as I see. A lot of information to convey. I would suggest that if this is new to you, maybe you could listen to it a couple times just to go back through and make it your own. And I wish you the best. And again, really looking forward to, if there's something you've seen and you don't understand, or there's something that you want to ask a question about, feel free to jot us off a note, kevin@bkcorner, and we'll either post you a response over to the Facebook page, or we'll place something in the next episodes to come about the questions that listeners have had. So that's it. Thanks for listening. This is the Beekeeper's Corner podcast. I'm Kevin England. Take care, everyone, and be well.